So how many of you have heard the phrase Jesus saves? Raise your hand if you've heard it. You've probably seen it on like a bumper sticker. You've seen it all over the place, right? So we all understand this concept, Jesus saves, about salvation, right? But what if I told you that there was a place in the Bible that there were actually two things that contribute to the triumph over Satan? So let's go to Revelation 12, verse 11 to find this answer. So, this verse says, should be up there in a little bit, it says this, it says, they triumphed over him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The testimony that these believers give of their devotion to God is they would not shrink from death, which Pastor Onea spoke about on Easter. Their testimony was so important to the story. Jesus has prevailed over Satan. That is something we can hold on to. And at the same time, our own specific testimonies, every person in this room, our testimony, the story of our lives lived for the glory of God, are one of the ways that this triumph happens. God has given us the responsibility of speaking of his glory by how we live our lives, by our character, by our righteousness with which we embody. So how does this idea of testimony in this current series, Story of Faith, fit together? If we understand the fact that this triumph happens in part by living out our lives for the Lord, by the word of our testimony, then it would stand to reason that we should have people in our community speak about how God has worked and grown and changed them. Stories of Faith is one of the many vehicles we have in 21st century church to become mature Christians, to become disciples of Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 14:33, those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. And that's not to say God won't let you keep some of this cool stuff that you have, right? Man, this is a rough one. That's not to say that God won't let you keep many of things that you do have, but a true disciple of God will be willing to let God take whatever he wants at any time. Stories of Faith, this series, strengthens that faith muscle we were talking about last week by learning to trust in the one who made us. And today, I am just so excited for the two people I'll be bringing up in a little bit here. Before I do, I want to tell you about one of my favorite Bible power couples, Priscilla and Aquila, which, to be honest, kind of sounds like some sort of clown duo who would entertain your kids at a birthday party. But they are super important to the story. So why are we talking about them? Well, the couple I'll be chatting with in a bit has so many parallels to this couple that it was such a fitting match to talk about this story before bringing them up. They are only actually in six verses in the entire Bible, but they always show up together, and they are a true powerhouse for God. One of the interesting facts about Priscilla and Aquila is that typically Priscilla is actually named first. And if you read a lot of the things in the Bible, they will typically place the male name first. It stands to reason that there was something inherently really special about this woman that could only be highlighted by placing her name first. And at the same time, this couple was always together when listed, always. Now that doesn't mean that Aquila was some sort of schmuck, right? If we remember from the Identity and Purpose series, we don't have to fight for value in the kingdom of God. God has made all of us uniquely in his image, and our identity and purpose is rooted in that, regardless of all these things. So that couple together, they are one flesh. And what Priscilla triumphed in, also did Aquila, because they are together. All right, so back to Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers, and Paul also had the same trade. So he ends up meeting them in Corinth, and he actually joins working with them and also stayed with him as well. And we see that in Acts 18, verse 2 through 3. I won't read it, but it'll be up there. They worked together in Corinth for a while before eventually leaving and heading to Ephesus, which it talks about in Acts 18, 18 through 19. So not only did Priscilla and Aquila invite Paul in. He was in kind of a rough spot. They invite him in, and they just just learn together. They go to the synagogue and learn all these things, but then they travel together. They actually followed him to another place where he was going. They were eventually, the key part about this is they were willing to uproot where they were to follow him. These two learned so much from Paul and became essential to the ministry Paul was doing. Here's what Paul says about this couple, and there's so many key points to this that I'll pull out, but it's Romans 16, verse 3 through 5. And Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." So there are three just main reasons why this passage is so important. First, he called this couple co-workers with him in Christ Jesus. Man, we talk about Paul all the time, but we rarely talk about Priscilla and Aquila. But if you look at this story, he literally says all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Guess what 21st century is? It is a Gentile church. We owe it to Priscilla and Aquila, this family that was only talked about in six verses in the Bible, but we owe what we have today based on this couple. And it also says, most people, when they read about them, they would just label them as tent makers. However, Paul says that they were co-workers in sharing the gospel. Whatever God has for you specifically in your life, whether it's in the business world, whatever God has called you to do, that is your ministry, that is your mandate. It doesn't matter whether it's in the church, out of the church, whatever God has called you to do, that is your ministry. And if you're like, I don't know what that is, this is a great church for you. You should just stay and hang out and we'll help you with it. That's one thing we care about deeply. And the third point, they actually opened their houses to the church. So they believed something deep about the things that they own, their possessions, that they're like, this isn't mine. Like, this is God's home, and I'm going to invite people in. There was even this guy named Apollos who was, like, a really great preacher, but he, like, kind of didn't know what he was talking about. And so they're like, hey, Apollos, like, come hang out in our house. Let's teach you how to do this a little more correctly. But there's so much that this particular couple did just to really help the entire body of the church continue on. If they hadn't welcomed Paul in from the very beginning and basically helped him recover, where would we be today? I don't know. I do believe God would have continued the story somehow, but that was such an important piece Priscilla and Aquila had in this story. So, who is this mystery couple that reminds us of Priscilla and Aquila? That would be none other than Tori and Nathan Gay. And I have written here in my notes, pause here for a long period of thunderous applause. So can we get some more for Tori and Nathan? Hey, there we go. Well, I'm sure many of you know Tori and Nathan by now. You guys can come on up if you want. Yeah. Little set rearrangement here. All right. So I'm sure many of you know Tori and Nathan by now, but here's maybe some of the things you might not know. This couple was integral in helping this church from the very beginning. Specifically talking to Dale earlier this week, he's like, Tori's fingerprints are literally all over this entire church. They knew Dale and Onea all the way back in Little Rock and faithfully walked with them in Little Rock. And then even when they moved to Chicago, they were still playing a huge part from there. They drove all the way from Chicago to attend something called Build, which is the fastest way to figure out what this church is about. And I was like, who's this couple that's driving like 5 hours to come down for the weekend? And side note, there's one coming up soon. So if you want to know what it's about, we'll have one sometime soon. So they actually worked on the creation of the 21st Century Manifesto. It's kind of just all of the core things that we believe in. Tori was huge in that. They faithfully attended something called DBR. It's this Discovery Bible Reading. They were doing it online 5 hours away in Chicago, and we saw them every single week through COVID. So they were still an essential piece even that far away. Honestly, it would be hard to talk about 21st century without this wonderful couple. What's even more phenomenal about this couple is that they don't seek recognition for the things they do. They're just quietly out here changing lives. So Priscilla and Aquila don't get much attention in the Bible for their contributions, But let's give Tori and Nathan a huge welcome as we thank them for serving our church so humbly over the past few years. Oh, sorry. Well, hello, my friends. It's great to be here. Hello.
Hello.
So, tell me just a little bit about your time in Little Rock. So you started in Little Rock, moved to Chicago, moved to Cincinnati. Tell us a little bit about like Little Rock and what you were doing there. So cool. So there was this time, I guess, where you started feeling like maybe we should move from Little Rock, move somewhere else. Is there, like, tell me about that experience of having these feelings of, oh, I think we might need to move.
Yeah. Contrary to her adventurousness, I am very content with where I am in things. So, you know, she's gone through several companies, and I was at like one. I'm still at this one place for like going on 8 years now. So I'm like I'm set. I've got my rhythm. I'm good. Can I go just back to sleep? You know, like we're okay. But yeah. Those are some of our best conversations is when she's thinking late at night and reactivates my mind and we talk till three. Honestly, good times, not being facetious. And then regarding this conversation about like needing to move, like the truth was at the very beginning when the conversation started, I was like very against it because I'm like, my family's here, my friends from high school and college, my extracurricular activities, they're all here. Like, why would I want to leave? Originally I was very against it, but like we had many, many discussions and talked about a lot through that all.
What changed in that for you, Nathan, as you were wrestling with that decision?
So I think the more like what Tori is is very good at is gathering a lot of information and displaying it all to where she's not just like, she didn't start with any ultimatum. She wasn't like, I'm going, like, join me if you want to. She was like, I think this is something that, you know, that I'm feeling called towards. And I think eventually just like the fact that we were willing to communicate with each other on that mm-hmm. eventually broke down some of those just like sedentary walls that I had and eventually allowed for us to just continue to explore. And then I think the final wall came down like once we kind of like shared the news with my parents after seeing my mom cry, where I was like, okay, I'm like, we got past this. I think I'm in the clear now. Because I think a lot of it is probably just like, you know, she's moved all over. She's like born in Florida and moved all over, and I was just in one place. And so I was, you know, I think I just wanted some of those things to come down first. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, this is good. They want to.
Tori, there was a specific reason that you wanted to move to Chicago.
Mm, yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's definitely a huge branding city. It's just, I think a big part of it is we were in Little Rock, Arkansas because of family, and we didn't really need to be anywhere in particular. But Chicago is a huge branding city, and moreover, it is kind of built around creativity. I just remember a big reason why I was a little bit restless in my mind at the time is because I was pursuing the idea of God as creator who gave us the ability to create. I took a picture as soon as we like landed, I guess, in Chicago, and I was like, I thought it was so cool because it was like, I took a picture of myself looking really artsy, and it said created, but like the D was
then, so you eventually make that decision, you're like, okay, Chicago, we're heading that way. What, to just tell us about like Chicago, what was your life like there, and what did you like about it, all those sort of things?
I remember the feeling, so we moved to a high-rise building, we're on the 25th floor, and so there's like kind of this initial like change in like elevation of where we're actually sleeping at night. You're like, oh, I'm in the cloud. this is weird. But I think after that initial, like, first couple weeks, I definitely, the word I could say is I felt, like, initiated. I felt kind of, like, activated away from where I was comfortably for so long around, like, incredible people, and especially with the church we were part of there called Mosaic. But I was just, like, I definitely felt, like, just ignited. And, like, we explored just, like, every inch of the city. And it really... like we sold both of our cars beforehand because we're like, we're kind of living like at the north part of downtown, and so there's trains and buses and everything everywhere, and you can this is in 2018, so it was, you know, way before the pandemic, and so we were just like just doing everything, going everywhere, and it felt, you know, definitely felt alive. And that was big for me, because one of my like kind of like deep fears is like, I just don't want to like go through life as just a buzz, just mm-hmm. kind of like sedentary. And so that was kind of like, it's like, holy cow, like, we're doing this ourselves, you know.
Mm. That's cool. What about for you, Tori?
Alien were at Mosaic Church in Little Rock. The sidewalk is cool. Chicago. Oh, sorry, not Little Rock. Let me, Little Rock, like, not like that, sorry. No, Chicago, sorry. In Chicago, like, the sidewalk is cool, the fire hydrant is cool,
and I think we have it, the picture after this. There's this, I think the picture that Tori took.
Yeah.
Of Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, we really wanted to include this one because this was our view from our place. And so that was just a great example. Like, we were very intentional about choosing our place because we're like, we want to live in all of his creation. And so we took, this also means we decided to live in a smaller space for a pandemic. So keep that in mind. Where we only owned two rooms. Two rooms total. So anyway, but no, it's just like, it really was like cloud living. It was, you woke up and you're like, okay, I'm floating. No one can tell me otherwise. So,
well, cool. So you're living in Chicago, you're just loving exploring, you're adventuring, you're doing all of those things. And then clearly you're in Cincinnati now, so something changed. So Tori, tell just a little bit about like just kind of that shift, because from everything you guys talked about when we discussed all this, it was like, man, Chicago was like it for us. Like, that felt like the dream. Yeah. And so what changed and what shifted there?
Yeah, something core is missing, and what that eventually became very apparent was, we had gone to a couple churches there for a somewhat extended period of time. Well, like a couple that were like longer than just one, like testing it out, and it was just like, it was definitely very apparent that like, although we had a good small crew of friends, there was no outward community other than that. It's like, if we wanted to go do something, we would hang out with them and go do something. There wasn't this intense family that we have here. And that became very apparent. And the more we became closer through DBR, through that connection made, while everyone is at home 24/7, it just kept growing and growing and burning. And we were realizing that, like, this sort of, like, the outward living and the fun times and the endless amounts of things you can do just don't compare to, like, what this room has. And what initially had across a computer screen, but now what we are, like, actually in right now. So then that became.
And so there was a video or something that you guys watched that was really impactful. Can you speak about that a little bit?
When we were pacing our tiny room, and we were like, what is it? Like, what are we thinking? Like, is this really, just trying to process it. And Dalia had been talking about this phrase, Jesus is Lord. And he had shared a lot of ideas or just like, really just told us so much about 21st century church here. You know what I mean? But, you know, in the phrase Jesus is Lord, I mean, we're wanting to dig into it, and specifically into the idea of Jesus' impulse to get up, to move, to be missional, or to be on mission. And so we watched this video. It's like a lecture of a man named Alan Hirsch talking about this idea, and one of the things that we took away from it after we watched it, Nathan, was like, it feels like everyone is focused on the movement itself instead of the creator of the movement. And that's a big thing that that lecture just went through. It's like, who is this creator of this movement? Who is this creator? And so it's like, it really was a video about the creator, or rather the character of this man named Jesus. And whenever we sit in that and we reflect on it, there's so much there. And all the things that we were learning in Chicago were just little tiny glimpses of his infectiousness and his movement and his love.
So you had that, you had the kind of like in two hands, you're got that decision of like, I don't feel like this is full, but there's also like, there's a lot of unknowns of moving to a new city. I've never been there before, other than visiting probably, but there's a lot of unknowns. So Nathan, can you speak just a little bit about like that decision, knowing that like, I don't really have all the answers in this, but like, it feels like we need to make a step.
Yeah. Fortunately, we had gone through that once before in terms of not knowing, like we knew two or three people going into Chicago and that we went to college with. And so we're like, there's that bit of kind of homeliness where you're like, I'm not just going straight into nothing. Mm-hmm. And so that was like times 10 coming here because we knew, you know, most everyone in the room where it's like, okay, like we really are we're not just going into blank Cincinnati. We're going into like a very full family situation here. That part of it was like not difficult at all. Cause we're like, hey, we know a lot of these amazing people. But yeah, like there's always just that sense of like, okay, what area are we trying to be in, and that kind of stuff. And those details are, I don't know, like it's hard in the sense of just, it takes a lot of time to figure out versus like it being an actual difficult thing to do. And we just have the world to thank. We're so grateful for everyone here that has made that transition, you know, so easy. I think one of our first mornings here, Daley and O'Neill brought like some pastries from literally the best pastry shop in the United States, Mochico. Plug. Yeah. And so it's just like things like that that are just like, you know, that brought us in, and we hit the ground running. It was definitely tough, especially saying goodbye to people, but that shift had happened so much sooner, definitely for her, especially for me, where I'm like, okay, we made that shift again, and we're diving head in. Like that wasn't hard.
So through this whole journey of multiple moves and really, I would say a deep pursuit of like, I want to be where God is. I want to be where the movement is. Like, what have you guys learned from? I'll start with you, Tori, of just the entire journey of these moves and pursuit of God.
So many things. I think that, you know, like, I think one thing that I learned is, I think that when it comes to restlessness, you know, like, there's a way that we can, if you are resonating with an idea, like, I am an active person, I'm a restless person, or maybe your mind is active. doing the right things. It's that he wants to be with us in every single moment. Brushing your hair, he wants to be there. You know? Putting on your shoes, he really wants to be there. Taking that lead for pursuing a dream, he wants to be there, definitely.
Yeah. And something that made me think about was part, I don't know if it was part of that video with Alan or another one, but there's part of another one of his phrases that there's no such thing as an unsent Christian, and which is important for a personality like mine to hear as someone who's very content with the usual, and she is way more active and more just like ready to respond to things. I think it was really important for me to really take that internally, because I'm like, I have to be initiated by outside, like, you know, by an outside, like, you can push me out of the nest and then I'll fly, but I'm not going to jump out of that nest by myself. Yeah. It really is something, especially with the people, you know, like Tori, like yourself, and like so many people here, that it's for everyone. It's not just like the really active people are going to be the movement people and the sedentary people are going to be, you know, kind of sitting there. It's like we all have roles to play, but there is, like, you know, we do believe that, like, at some degree movement has to happen, and that's something that we've really connected on throughout all these moves that we've done, is that, like, our movement together is stronger. You know, when I'm holding back and she's pushing forward, like, that's creating separation between us, and that, you know, that happens not only in marriages but friendships and everything around us. So
I think the thing, just in general, when I think of your guys' story and even just the, like, wrestling with, do we do this, do we make this move, just the continual pursuit of God, and there's always levels that God has where he's like, hey, it goes back to what I was talking earlier about, like, those who want to be my disciples, like, give up everything. And the part I love so much about your story is that, like, Chicago's the dream. Like, it was the dream. It really was, like, the thing that we thought, you know, we wanted. And then there was, like, it's not full. Like, why is it not full? But you made the leap, though. That's what's so powerful about the story, is you can have that talk, but there's that. That's why it's a story of faith, is there's a leap of, like, we don't have all the answers, but we're going to go do it. And so I just want to thank you, because I was like, please have them move to Cincinnati. I just want to be friends with them, like, in person. Prayers are answered, just saying. But I really just want to thank you guys just for so many things. But like, even, so they move from Chicago, they move to Oakley, and we do this thing called dinner parties. And literally, like, 1 month after they move, they're like, yeah, we're all settled up, we'll do a dinner party. And then I remember, like, a week before, I see Tori on, like, the Nextdoor app, and she's like, hey, if anybody's, you know, free, come over to our house. I'm like, you guys literally just moved. But there was such a, like, intentionality behind why you moved. It's exactly like Priscilla and Aquila, that, like, we have an intention behind what we're doing here, and there's a deep, there's such a, like, deepness and a richness to that, and it's just cool to see and, you know, be in person. It's amazing. So I'm going to pray for them quick, and then give just a little kind of teaching, and then we're going to do, like, a little just, like, prayer section. So if there's something that, like, really stirred in you of, like, man, I feel like there's that thing that I want to have the faith to go do. Tori and Nathan are going to be up here praying. I'll be up here praying as well. And we just want to just encourage you. Like, literally the word encourage is to give courage. And that's one of the things we need as Christians to follow and pursue in the areas that are really difficult. So, God, I just thank you for this couple. I just thank you for the heart and who they are. God, we are just so blessed. We're just so blessed by them. We're blessed by their just humility. Tori's worked behind the scenes for forever, and this is just an honor today to be able to bless this wonderful couple. God, we just thank you for their lives. We thank you for their willingness to follow you at whatever cost. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, real quick here, there is just a story in the Bible. There's this man. And he goes to Jesus and he's like, hey, how do I enter the kingdom of God? He asks Jesus that question. And Jesus goes, hey, will you give up, let me just come up here. He goes, hey, will you give up everything you have, all of your wealth, all of your possessions? Because he's this really wealthy man. And he's like, hey, will you come and follow me? And disheartened, this man walks away, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't give up everything to follow the Lord. My tablet is saying no today. So the verse in there, let me see if I can pull it up on my phone. It is not doing it. Okay. Thank you, Tori. See? They're amazing. So there's a point right after that where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. He says, later on, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, Peter speaks in verse 28 and says, we have left everything to follow you. Kind of like their story, we left our dream. And in verse 29 and 30, Jesus says this, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, there we go with that, you know, death thing again, and in the age to come, eternal life. And why I love just their story so much is they were feeling that 1%, and they're like, we want the 100, we want the whole thing, and we're willing to give it up to move somewhere else. And so the question just to ask you guys today, where are you just in life? Where are you? Are you tired? Are you excited? Are you feeling like God is calling you to another place and you're like, I don't know about it. Where is that place that you are? And another thing, a really impactful part of their story is Tori at one point was like, if we're going to be somewhere, I want to know why we're there. And so if you're like, where am I? And you start going like, why am I? Why am I where I am? Just ask that question in this space. We're going to just play some music, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And we'll, if you're feeling something, if your kind of heart's been beaten and you're like, I really need to go up there, do it. I promise you. You have to take that leap. You have to take that step. I promise you it'll be worth it. There were multiple times where I was just like, God's telling me to go, and I'm just stuck in my seat. Do it. I promise you do it. So I'll pray quick, and then we'll play some music, and we'll offer prayer. And we'll do that for maybe 5-10 minutes, and then we'll do a benediction, and we'll send you guys out. Okay? God, we just thank you that these things that we give up are just a small piece of the things you desire to give us, God. For Tori and Nathan, they left something, but they gained brothers, and they gained sisters, and they gained people here. There were people. God, I just thank you that you have the path, that you speak to all of us, whether we've heard you before or not. God, and I just pray that you would speak to all of us today, God, that you would spark something and ignite something in us that would move us to seek you, because we don't want the 1%, Lord. We don't. We want the 100. We want all of you. And so, God, I just pray that you would stir our hearts to move towards you. Amen. So if you want prayer, come on up.